We continue our learning. We are in the last two Mishnayos of Masos. Parakei, we begin with Parakei Mishnah Zayin. Chorei Hanemolim. We have ant holes, and there's grain found in the ant holes. Shelonu Bitzad Ha'arema. And the ants spent the night next to a pile of grain. Arema Hachayevis, which is Chayevid Masos. There's a pile of grain. Either the pile had been smoothed out, or maybe even if the owner didn't plan on smoothing out, so now it's considered that it's chayev, or it's processed. Now, truth be told, you have to bring it into the house, or maybe you're planning to sell it. But either way, we consider it in the category of something that's going to be processed, that will have a gemar malacha. So we would like to know whether or not the grain that's found in the anthole came from that which was in very close proximity, from this pile of grain that's chayev and maaser. So maybe it came from the wild, came from hefker, came from something that's ownerless, and the grain that you find in the ant hole does not have to be have maaser separated from it. So the Mishnah here says, Harei elu chayovim, you are chayev. The kernels of grain found in the ant holes are presumed to have come from that pile of the grain, of the processed grain, and not from hefker. Now, why do we assume that? After all, this is a very famous topic where we have a clash between what's called rove versus karov. What does that mean? So let's take our example here. Here you have grain. You have a leidas asafik. You're really not sure. You're uncertain where the grain, what the source of the grain is. It is the pile that's in close proximity. So maybe there's a probability that it came from that pile. But there's a lot of grain. The majority of grain in the world, or in that town, or in those fields, are not from that pile and are hefker. Belong to anybody. There are no fields around that belong to anybody here. So should we assume it came from the pile that's chayev or not? Or maybe you'll say no. It came from the fields that nothing's been processed. Nothing's been piled up at all. So that's a clash between rove, the majority, and karov, proximity. And the general rule is we follow the rove. Take the example of Egla Rufo. You find a body between two cities. So we know that the Mem Sanhedrin go and they measure the closest city, and that city is the one that brings the Egla Arufa. That's actually true only if the two cities have the same number of people in it. But if one city has a majority, has a lot more people than the other, has more people than the other, so we follow the rove. We don't assume the body came from the city that's closest. We assume it came from the majority of people and the other areas where this applies as well. So the Mishnah explains why you're chayv to separate masos from the grain found in the ant holes, and why it is that we assume that, why it is that we don't why it is that we assume it came from the pile that's in close proximity, when the majority of grain kernels are not from that pile. So the Mishnah says, "Sheyadua shemidavar hagamur gorin kalalayla." We know that the ants are not going to pass up this pile of grain and bring grain from elsewhere. So we know that they've literally been dragging the grain from that fully processed pile the whole night, and that's where it came from. Not only that, makes no difference how much grain we found in the ant holes. We can assume it all came from that processed pile of grain. And that's why we can assume that there's going to be a chiyuv of masos. Parakei, Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah is going to have two lists here. A list both where there's no chiyuv to separate masos. One's because of hefker, because the items it's going to speak about are ownerless, they come from the wild. And the other is because they're inedible. First list, shum bal bechi. A type of garlic called balbechi. Why it's called balbechi? So some say the Bartner says it's a shum charif. It's very sharp. Sha'ochlo bocha the ain of zolgos demos. You tear, you start to cry. It's a tear-inducing garlic. And the Bartner says no. I believe li nera shum hagadol bahar halavanon. It's actually it's a special name, balbechi or balbechi. It is from the Arabic. It's actually a type of garlic that grows in Lebanon, in the Lebanon mountains. Batzel Sharichpa, what else is on this list? Batzel Sharichpa, Richpa is the name of a place. Batzel is a type of onion. Ugris and Alkilkalin, and the grits, the beans from Kilki. the Hadashim HaMitrios and the Egyptian lentils. Rabbi Meir Omer Afa Karkas. Rabbi Meir adds on Karkas. Karkas is a type of cabbage. Some say it's a type of bean. Has long leaves, a short stem. And Rabbi Meir says this is also going to be, as we'll see on this list of things that are exempt from Masos. Why? Because it grows in the wild and we consider it hefker. And that's the truth, and that's the reason for all of these on this list. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Afa Kutnim. Kutnim is a type of lentil also, which Rabbi Yossi says it grows in the wild. So the Tanakhama does not put these Karkas or Kutnim on the list because they claim that people do cultivate them. They're not considered hefker. So the Mishnah says about all of these things, Pturim min ha-masros, you're exempt from masros because they're presumably hefker, and v'nilkochem mikol adam b'shvias, and they can be bought from anyone during the Shemitah year. Now when it was Shemitah year, we know that generally speaking, you cannot harvest that which you have in your field. And normally you're not allowed to purchase Shemitah fruit produce from a person who is not careful, who's suspected of not giving, if you remember from Shvias, not giving access to the public to go to their field, because we're afraid, the produce that he has, is coming from a guarded field, and you're not allowed to buy that produce. So the Mishnah here says, in this case, there's nothing to worry about. Why? Because they're presumed to come from the wild and not from a private field where someone would have had an issue of guarding it and protecting it from and not allowing access to it. So therefore, these types of vegetables, for produce, are permitted to be bought from anyone in the Shemitah year. Now, the Rosh understands both of these cases differently. There's not an issue of coming from Hefker, but rather all of these actually grow outside of Eretz Yisrael, and even outside of the areas of Syria and Mitzrayim and Bavel and Ammon and Moab, which are Chayv Midrabanan. These don't come in any of those areas, and that's why they're exempt. And the same thing would be true regarding the halacha, why you're allowed to buy it from people in Shvias. Now, one thing to keep in mind, even if you'll say that we have a heter to buy, let's assume according to the first explanation, that's an issue with hefker, so there's no problem with buying from anyone during Shvias, even from someone who's normally suspect, because we don't assume that this came from any private field. There is a limit how much produce you're allowed to buy from someone who can't be trusted, and that is Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Lamites says only the amount of 3 meals. Why can't I buy more? Because remember, that which I buy, even the money that I'm giving has Kedusha Shvias, and therefore we want to be careful that the money that's being given to someone also has will have Kedusha Shvias and be treated properly. Now the Mishnah gives the list of that which is inedible, and therefore nachayv in masos, zera luf ha'elyon, seed, the seed of the wild luf, zera kreshim, leek seed, zera betzolin, onion seed, zera lefutsusnonos, the seed of turnips and radishes, ushar zera onigino, shenem necholim, and other garden seeds that are not eaten are pturin mena masros, vinil kachamin kalad mishvias, and could be bought from anyone in the Shemitah year. Once again, they are inedible, but if you had edible seeds, let's say garlic seeds, seeds of, we mentioned in the past, the cress and the garden rocket, archaiv, in Masos. Now, the Yushalmi learns the fact that these seeds are putter from what? It says the Pasuk. We've mentioned this Pasuk before, the end of Ayikra. V'chol masar ha'aretz mizera aretz mipreitz or kodesh l'ashem hu. Now, what does it say? It says zera ha'aretz, but it doesn't say zera, it says mizera ha'aretz. What's mizera ha'aretz? Comes to teach you that plant seeds, that zera ha'aretz teaches you that plant seeds are chayiv in masros, but mizera ha'aretz means that only some of them are chayiv in masros, and some of them are going to be potter. And then the Mishnah concludes, sha'af al-pi sha'avi and truma, hare elu ye'achlu, even though their father literally is truma, it means the plants, let's say, that are generated by these seeds. We're saying that the plants that these seeds will now grow or will generate are permitted to non-Kohanim, even non-Kohen, even if the seeds from which they grew, that's the Avian, that's the progenitor, were Truma, which are Pater, which are Usur, obviously, to a non-Kohen, which means that even though the Chachamim said that that which grows from Truma produce is treated as Truma, that's only true when it comes to plants that grew from edible Truma produce. But these seeds are inedible, so the plants that generate from that come from them, that they generate, are not going to be treated as Truma. Slick Maseches Masros, Mazel Tov on the conclusion of Maseches Masros.